all things. So if you're taking some notes, you can write that down. But my title this morning is All Things. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 32. So if you have a Bible with you, you can flick to that. If it's on your phone, you can scroll to that. And hopefully we'll also have that up on the screen. So it's Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 32. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Today we are looking at, in my opinion, probably one of the most loved statements and most loved promises in all of the Bible. You might have a difference of opinion, that's just my opinion. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I would say probably more than other promises in the Bible, this verse has helped lots of people trust God when things seemed like they were never going right, when they thought that they could never get out of a situation. When people hear this verse, if they believe it, they hold on to it in a difficult situation. I don't know if you've done that yourself, but because they know and believe that God can make good out of something that definitely doesn't seem good. As Christians, so if you're a follower of Jesus in here today, we should believe that sooner or later, the sorrows, the pains, the disappointments, the losses will all work together for good. Some Christians or some certain types of preaching would say that everything is good if you're a follower of Jesus. And if you have struggles in your life or if things aren't going well, then you are doing something wrong. But that is not what these verses are saying. That is not what Romans 8, 28 is saying. It's not what this passage is pointing to at all. This verse is saying that even when the situation is bad, even when things aren't going well, God will make good come from it. Throughout present sufferings, verse 18, throughout the groaning, verse 23, throughout our weaknesses, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. So my first point this morning, again, if you've taken some notes and you want to be heading, is the promise. The promise. So first things first, let's get to it, is that all things do not work together for the good of everybody. All things don't work together for the good of everybody. The promise that God will turn all things for good is not true for every single person. What do I mean by that? Hopefully I'll explain. This verse shows us what is needed for that promise to be true in our lives. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of who? Those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. To those who love God. Paul is basically saying here, if you love God, grab hold of this promise. Run with it. If you love him, if you're open to him, he will use your life for his purpose. And that's a side note. It's not for our purpose, which you know, but for his purpose. So if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, that's some more good news. That's something that you can smile about and be happy about. But then on the flip side, if you're not a follower of God, then actually this promise is not for you. This promise is not for those who do not love God. But of course, that is not what we want. We don't want to be on the opposite end of the promise. So if you do not know Jesus as your Savior in here today, please come and talk to us. I beg you to come and talk to us. We would love to tell you more about Jesus. We would love to tell you about what he's done in our lives. And we would also love to tell you about what he has done for you. But the promise that God will work everything together for our good is amazing. I don't have better words, but it is amazing. Hopefully you think that. Hopefully you believe that. To know that all things are working for our good should be exciting this morning. The fact that you hear that should, not looking at anyone in particular, but that should make you smile. I'll be honest, there's not a lot of smiles in here this morning. That promise is amazing. You could have someone up here that would speak a lot better words than me, have all these big words. But this promise should change your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, it should do something within you to know that all things are working for good. He's not working things together for your condemnation. It's actually for your good. It is good this morning. And that should bring you hope. That should bring you joy. You should rejoice this morning at even just hearing that. But maybe you're not feeling that this morning. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus this morning and you're not feeling that. I want you to ask yourself, maybe you need a fresh revelation of this promise. The hope, the joy, the freedom that this promise should bring to you to transform how you see your life. Ask God. If you're not feeling that way, ask God this morning. Speak to the Holy Spirit and say, help me. Help me to understand this promise. But what's the catch? Surely there's a catch to a promise like that. I think there kind of is. Paul says that we must be people who love God. That's the catch. The first thing in this verse he says is those who love God. And what does he mean by loving God? He means real love. What do I mean by that? That God's not a second thought. It's not that kind of love. That it's not that I love God so much when things are going really well. Or even the opposite. I love God so much when things aren't going well, because then I can hold on to him. But when everything's good, I don't even think about him. It's not that type of love. Paul's talking about a love that consumes you. A love that makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. When you love someone, you think about them, you talk to them, you do things for them. Is that how you feel about God this morning? And then there's this calling according to his purpose part. The calling is not something that happens over and over and over again. It's a one-time thing. If you're a follower of Jesus, God has called you from death to life, from darkness to light. He has called you into living life and life to the full. He called you into a life of loving him and following him with everything that you have. And yes, of course, I'm aware we're all human. We have good moments and we have, we'll call them not so good moments. But in those who are called, followers of Jesus, love for God is what defines you from other people. And as a result of your love for him, God makes this amazing promise to you. So Paul is not saying all things work for good for Christians some of the time, when their love's really strong for him. He's not saying, oh, and all the things don't work for good for Christians some of the time when our love isn't, or when our love is weak for him. God is saying that no matter what, you might have your ups and downs, but God is saying that for Christians, for his followers, all things work for good all of the time. He is working it for good. And again, that does not mean that everything is good in your life. I'm sure we are aware about that. That right now, that does not mean everything's going well and everything's amazing, but that all things are working for good. They're working towards that. That is his promise to me and you this morning. And we need to rejoice in that. Whatever is going on, whatever you're facing, whatever life is currently throwing at you, God is working it all together for good. God's promises are good. They are something that we should rejoice in each and every day. As you look through scripture, we see promise after promise of who God is and what he does. And that never changes. If you're here this morning, he is working all things together for good. There's no need to panic. There's no need to worry because he is sovereign. He is in control. My second point is loving God. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. You know, I think these verses really hold true for this promise. To inherit this promise, to have this promise in our lives, it's what Paul talks about in those verses. Actually, it hinges on how we love God and if we do or not. If we want to know this is true in our lives, we also need to be sure that we love God. We need to pursue him and make him the center of our lives. I have a quote that I read, and it puts things a lot better than what I could, and I'm going to read it to you. Loving God is desiring God himself beyond his gifts. Loving God is treasuring God himself beyond his gifts. Loving God is delighting in God himself beyond his gifts. Love for God is being satisfied in God himself beyond his gifts. Are you getting the picture? Love for God is cherishing God himself beyond his gifts. Love for God is savoring God himself beyond his gifts. Love for God is valuing God and prizing God and revering God and admiring God beyond his gifts. All these words are grasping for that essential response of the heart to the revelation of the glory of God, especially in Christ through the gospel. It is a glad reflex of the heart to all that God is for us in Christ. Hopefully that is straightforward. The point that it's making should be clear, that it's not about what God can do for us. Our love for God should not be tied up in that. It's not about the gifts. It's not about any of that. God works everything for good for those that love him. My question to you this morning is, how much do you love him? Do you love him like this, like that passage, that quote that I read? Because that's actually a real challenge. I don't know if you agree. Maybe it's not a challenge for you, definitely a challenge for me. Do you love him in a way that it wouldn't matter if he ever did anything else the rest of your life? Would you still love him? Is that the way your heart is towards God? Do you love him just because? No other reason. The fact that Jesus died for you is enough. Is that where you're at? You don't need anything else. Do you love him like that? It's not about the gifts. It's not about what he can do. It's just about being in love with him. Look, we could get caught up in this verse and the fact that it says we need to love God so that he works everything together for our good. But if that's how we think, or that's how we take some of this, then we are missing the point. If you feel like you try to love God so that you get these promises, so that you get this specific promise, then we have misunderstood it. Our loving him shouldn't be about him working everything together for our good. We need to just fall in love with him because of who he is. The rest can be thought about another time. And if at times you struggle, if times, because we all do, but you're struggling to just love him for who he is, then I ask you to focus on Jesus. Look at who he is and what he has done, the life he lived, the death he died for me and you on the cross. Is that enough? Or do you still need the gifts? Or do you still need the encounters? Don't get me wrong, we should want those. But if you were never to experience him again, would you still love him? Is it about what we can get at times? And I think we've all been there. But is our love just about him? And you know, I believe that we can always measure how much we love God. I believe that Jesus shows us that and he asks that of us. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus is telling his disciples one way on how to show they love. Obey his commands. And that is true of us today. Do you obey Jesus' commands? Maybe you're thinking, I don't even know what they are. If you even just go to the Gospels and look through Jesus' life, what he asks the disciples do, how he's telling people to live, the teaching that he does, can we say that we follow everything Jesus taught and said? I think we could probably say it's a mixed bag, right? There are some days that we're doing really well, that we're trying to do it, and there's other days we aren't. Jesus is asking us to obey him, and he is saying that that is one of the ways that we can show our love. What you do for God shows not just you, but the people around you, your love for him. And my third point this morning, maybe I need to clarify that just because this verse in Romans, and you're all smart people, you all know, but it says that God works all things together for good does not mean that it is happening now. Does not mean that it will happen today. Does not mean that it will happen soon or even in this life, which I think at times can be really hard to get our heads around. Like I said, just because you love Jesus does not mean you will have a perfect life. Does not mean it's easy at all. What it does mean is you'll go through it with him and he will be right by your side when you face some of the toughest things in your life. Working things together for good could ultimately mean heaven. You may not experience that working out until heaven, which is okay. I know that might sound grim, but heaven's a really good place. But actually, for people, that could be the good. Actually, you could have the worst life possible, and it's okay. We can sympathize with that. But it's okay because we know that Jesus wins. We know that ultimately then you win, that you are in heaven, that the good is eternity in heaven with Jesus. It may not be right now for you, but it will be good. It's working towards that. And how do I know? It's not just my thoughts. How do I know that it might be not right now for us? We look at scripture. We look at the Bible. So many people from the Bible who loved and followed God went through horrible circumstances. Some of them seem really good. Some of them seem blessing after blessing. And there were others that didn't. We have in Genesis, we have Joseph. I'll do the short version of the story. If you don't know the story, go home and look at it. It's great. But his dad loved him more than the other sons. He gave him a really fancy robe. All seems to be going really well. Then he has some dreams about his family bowing down to him. Now, I don't know about you. I'm just going to throw out a wee bit of advice. If you're having dreams about your family bowing down, like, work out a way to say that, that it doesn't come across arrogant. As a result of him talking about his dreams, his brothers sell him, essentially. He gets taken to Egypt, thrown in prison. At this point, things do not seem to be good, right? I think we can all agree on that. One point, he was having a great time with his family. The next, he is in prison. And then a wee bit down the line, he's able to tell Pharaoh about the dreams that Pharaoh's having. He becomes second in command over Egypt. Long story short, if you don't know, his brothers turn up. He forgives them. The whole family move to Egypt. And it seems like happy ending. It's all great. And then Joseph says something in the middle of all of that. Well, it's towards the end. And it's amazing. And it's something that I think that obviously we can hold on to. Something that also points us to this promise that's in Romans 8:28. Genesis 50 and verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. If you look at Scripture, you can see this promise work throughout it. But this story, I think, is such a clear example of how God can work everything and anything for good. I don't know what each of you are experiencing in your lives. I don't. I don't know what you have experienced. I don't know what you will experience. But what I do know, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We, of course, get to experience God's goodness on a daily basis. He loves us. He cares for us. But we won't always have it easy. And the working for all good may only be heaven. And that should be enough. That is more than enough. And that might sound a wee bit grim. Sorry, that sounded very Northern Irish in my head there as I said that. That might be a bit grim. But it's actually amazing to think that through everything in this world that you might face, to think of what we prayed for earlier, the persecuted church, and what all of those people are going through on a daily basis, whether that's sickness, whether that's losing their lives, any of that, we can still hold on to the fact that one day we will be with Jesus. And that is good. That is so good. That is God working everything together for the good of those who love him. And that is amazing. Could I ask the band to come up? I read another quote, which I really like. And this is how one pastor describes Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. This is a call to take risks, to spread a passion for God's supremacy in all things for the joy of all peoples. This is a call to go to a hard place or to do a hard thing in the cause of love. This is a call to spend yourself for Christ and his kingdom. This is a call to do something radical and crazy in the eyes of the world. Romans 8:28 is a trumpet call to follow Jesus into the risks of love, no matter what it costs. Because whatever it costs will work for your good. Could we stand together? Whatever God asks of you this morning, whatever he is asking of you in your life, it might be difficult. You may not want to do it, but I love this perspective of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 is calling you into taking risks for the kingdom of God, because we can live in a faith and have an assurance that no matter what happens, that everything that God will take us through, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So this morning, where is your love for God? Maybe you don't know him this morning. Please, if you don't, come and talk to us. But God is giving us this promise, if we love him, that it will all work together for good. Does that drive you? Does that push you? Does that even make you think about the things that you could do? Because no matter what happens, God will use it for good. Let me pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are in control, God. And God, sometimes it takes us a wee while to catch up to some of the things that you have said. So help us this morning, God. If that is a fresh revelation on this promise, God, would you do that in our hearts and in our minds, God? But Lord, would you drive us to go further than what we've been before, God? That this promise, God, that we can hold on to it, that we can run with it, God. That when we look at our own lives, God, we can get caught up in all the circumstances that don't seem good, God. But God, I pray that our perspective would change, God. Our perspective would change to know that you have a plan, God, that you will use all of these things to work together for good. So help us with that, we pray. In Jesus' name.